Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican, who would not so much as lift up his eyes towards heaven. But in the offertory verse we pray today, to thee, O Lord, have I lifted up my soul. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Daniel prayed three times a day at home. The temple was no more, and he was in exile. Only he turned himself towards Jerusalem. But today, we are in the temple and meant to see ourselves at prayer, but more, to see more. Let's visit the contemplatives. They are, you might say, the church's prayer professionals, the Carmelite sisters who dedicated their entire life to prayer, spending hours a day chanting the divine office, praying the rosary and the mass, or quietly praying, meditating, 1 hour in the morning and 1 hour again in the evening. Saint Teresa at Lisieux was the go-to gal in her convent. Whenever anyone required a poem for a special occasion, she would compose it, and then it would be copied out on a card and presented. But in the meantime, the sisters, enchanted with her work, would set it to some popular melody, some air that was well known, perhaps like the Londonderry air that we used last Sunday, and the sisters would sing it during work to make their work more of a prayer. But this time, Celine, her older sister, had a very bad kind of a prayer in mind. Let's see how St. Teresa corrected her sister. Celine admits that she was under the illusion that entering the convent, she was doing something grand and heroic for Jesus. And so she went so far as to ask her sister to write some verses. The popular air of the day was called Rappelle-toi, Remember Thou, which would remind our Lord, she said, of all that I was sacrificing for him and all that our family had suffered for his love. Well, Teresa duly produced the poem. It was a long one. We have part of it in this morning's bulletin, and entitled indeed, Rappelle-toi, Remember Thou. Celine pored over it as soon as she got her copy, eagerly, but she could find no reference to any sacrifice she may have made for our Lord. Instead, it was for her a telling reminder of all that he had done for me. I could not help thinking, she confesses, about today's gospel, the Pharisee and the publican. And I, she said, I was like the proud Pharisee, boasting that I gave tithes of all that I possessed. Now, lucky for Celine, she had a saint for a sister who was determined to make her forget herself, to inhale the pure, fresh air of love and of thanksgiving at prayer. It's easy, isn't it, to get the wrong idea about prayer. We may not be prayer professionals, but most of you are pretty good at it, I warrant. It's easy for a bit of the Pharisee to rub off, especially if you listen to that new man, Bergoglio, you get a wrong idea entirely about the value of prayer. Just last Sunday, on his balcony, before he headed off to the beaches of Brazil, the white sands of the Copacabana, he declared publicly and very firmly, prayer that doesn't lead to concrete action towards our brothers is fruitless and incomplete. But Sir, excuse me. Prayer is action. It is pure and simple action. The most important action of your life. The first action it should be of every day, and pray it will be the last one of your life. It is never fruitless, never incomplete for lack of any other action, whether that be visiting a slum or exchanging needles for addicts in the park, say. Contemplatives, like the Carmelites, prove that it is so. Their whole life is given over to the worship of God, public worship, the divine office, and then those hours of quiet contemplation each day. That all glorifies God, and it supremely helps souls, the sisters' souls, but other souls as well. It makes, when we pray, it makes us too to see God's perfection, the grandeur of his work, and as well our own imperfections and failings. The ensemble fills us with a sense of praise and of thanksgiving. Curie of Ars says, if you had any idea of how bad you really are in the eyes of God, you would tremble at your vileness. How little we really do, how little we ever manage to accomplish. However, the saints do, and that's why saints are so humble. Thus prayer, quiet prayer, the prayer of the heart, turns us into today's publican who went home justified. That simple prayer, they call it in the East, the Jesus prayer, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Our version of that might very well be the chaplet of the holy wounds. My Jesus, pardon and mercy to the merits of thy holy wounds. And thus we emerge from prayer grounded in truth, and thus humility, without which nothing else is going to get us very close to the ideal of holiness. Now, what do you think St. Teresa would have to say about prayer? Well, real prayer doesn't puff us up, nor is it a puff of air, some beautiful, useless words, unless you actually get out and do something in public. What is prayer? The Catechism defines it as the lifting up of mind and heart to God. Just as the psalmist says, David, in today's offertory verse, lifting us up away from the things of earth. To thee, O Lord, have I lifted up my soul. St. Teresa had come to Carmel to pray. We came today, didn't we, to church to pray. She had come to pray for sinners, for priests, and for the poor souls in purgatory. She knew that the whole world could be lifted up to Jesus by means of prayer, by prayer that burns the fire of love. And yet, so often when she set to pray, she felt dry and distracted and uninspired, and yes, also sleepy. She was tempted, remember, terribly against the faith, against the existence of God, the immortality of the soul. Maybe she could help us. Yes, I'm sure that she would. She promised, didn't she, that she would spend her heaven doing good on earth. So here we are in the temple to pray. At least with her assistance, I think, we'll go home today justified. How did she pray? Well, she trusted confidence, her spiritual intuitions, and she just prayed the way she could. On a good day, she would get some kind of a light and inspiration from scripture, from an epistle or a gospel chiefly, and that would carry her along for her prayer and for the rest of the day or the night. But otherwise, well, she asked our Lord to carry her. She was a child, remember. Draw me was her simple prayer. I ask Jesus to draw me into the flames of his love, to unite me so closely to him that he live and act in me. She had a hard time remembering all of the intentions she wanted to pray for every day. Does that ever happen to you? I know sometimes at the altar it's a distraction. I think there's someone else I should be praying for. She called all of these intentions her treasures. But she used that same scriptural verse from the Canticle of Canticles, which she loved, to help her out. Draw me. The rest of the verse is, draw me and we shall run after thee. And who's the we? All of those who are swept up heavenward by the prayer of one soul who lets herself be lifted up to God. This is what, famously, Teresa wrote about prayer. I just do what children do before they've learned to read. Do you ever wonder what our little ones, who are usually so well behaved at Mass, and sometimes the Mass must seem very long indeed, what do they do if they don't read and they don't have a prayer book yet? I tell God what I want quite simply, without any splendid turn of phrase, and somehow he always manages to understand me. For me, prayer means launching out of the heart towards God. It means lifting up one's eyes quite simply to heaven, a cry of grateful love. Whether I'm at the crest of joy or down in the trough of despair. She was often there. She felt she couldn't pray. So what would she do? She would quiet herself and listen. She would embrace even the distractions. Remember that old nun? She had wooden dentures, wooden false teeth. And she would click her teeth all during that hour of quiet prayer. And instead of letting that drive her crazy, as sometimes noises can do, right, she embraced it, and she made that to be her prayer. That's all that she could do, but that was how she prayed that day. And other times, she said it always worked for her. You could try this yourself. Just stop and say the Our Father very slowly, and then the Hail Mary. Pray. Pray the right way. Pray your way, but pray the humble way. Not just thinking thoughts and saying words, even the highest and the best, or making promises which must be very pleasing to God. Prayer means lifting up your eyes towards heaven. And here's something we all could borrow from the Pharisee. Look. Look up to heaven. Prayer is a cry of recognition and of love. She recalls it as a girl. Sometimes she would go out on a starry night with her father, and she says, I would gaze at the stars, and it seemed to her that one cluster of stars formed a T in the sky. And she would say, look, Daddy, my name is written in heaven. It is your name. Do you see it? You will. And you will see heaven if you will pray. Two men went up into the temple to pray. Look. Look up to heaven. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.